Kimmon. Thanks for letting us into your ears. We're about to talk with Rivers Cuomo of Weezer and AJR. This is a very special conversation. These guys have never been in the same room talking like this ever before. They've worked together 3 times. We're going to dissect all of it. This is, yeah, just truly a one-of-a-kind conversation, and I'm really happy that you're joining us. Please subscribe to this podcast, share it with those you care about, and yeah, here's Rivers Cuomo and AJR. Yo, we are here in the studio. Very exciting. This is like almost overwhelming that I'm not looking at you all through some weird screen, but it's incredibly special. We have in the studio Rivers Cuomo, Weezer, and we have AJR. Woo! Y'all have worked together 2 times now, which is such a thank you. Sober Up starts this relationship, and it starts over Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I'm so grateful to Twitter. I think it started with me following you guys, right?
Yeah, we saw that Rivers Cuomo followed us, and then was it us reaching out? I think it was us reaching out next, saying, obviously, we're such huge Weezer fans, and we've loved you guys for such a long time. And then I think we threw out the, would you want to collaborate together?
Of course, have to.
Right. It was that time where we were like, let's just try anything.
Yeah, but when you're saying that, like, you really think in your mind, there's no way that Rivers Cuomo is going to want to work with us, right? Or do you think like, yo, he's going to be here and he's down to collaborate and we're going to get in the studio tomorrow?
No, of course not. Our mindset was no, there's no way this is going to work, but you have to try it out.
Yes.
And it was so great that he wrote back and he was down.
But 2 songs in your life that come from Twitter. Africa was
right.
The other one.
Oh, I was like wondering, yeah.
Well, it starts with a Rosanna cover that you did of Toto, and then some girl tweets you asking for Africa. You fulfill the dream.
Rosanna came after her tweets. Actually, she was hitting us for Africa for months. And
so you give her Rosanna instead?
Exactly. Like, but it was months later after it turned into this big internet campaign with blogs and everything and many followers. And so finally we're like, okay, here you go. And
we gave him Rosanna. Was her Twitter account like dedicated to asking Weezer to cover Africa? So that was like the thing of her account.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Rivers, can I ask, why did you follow them in the first place? What was it about them that you liked so much?
Well, real simple. The song Weak. I just thought it was absolutely incredible. I totally loved it. It was like my favorite song of the year. So
wow.
I was like, yeah, got to follow these guys. And it was more than just loving a song. It was like, I feel like if I was a new artist now, I would probably be trying to do Weak.
When you listen to a song that's not yours, what do you listen for?
I usually listen to melody first. Something that sounds super uplifting and beautiful and it makes me want to sing.
Where does Sober Up come from? Do you guys, you obviously connect after the Twitter DM, but do you give Rivers something that's almost finished and ask him to fill in blanks?
Yeah. The click didn't really sound that alternative because that's when we were like kind of somewhere in between alternative and pop, and Sober Up was our most alternative-y song with the cello and electric guitars, and we thought like, okay, out of anything, if we can shoot our shot and try to get Rivers on one song, it would be Sober Up. And we sent it to him. I forget, did we have a bridge or was it was just blank, right?
No, I think there was an open space there. It actually worked out perfectly. It was one of the only songs with like, oh wow, here's like where a feature would go. And coincidentally, it was the song that would probably work the best with Rivers' voice. So we sent him. We said we have this finished song, and I think we said like, definitely take a left turn or something like that. Maybe those were the instructions. We definitely don't want to be like the rest of the song. And then I think he sent back like 4 different options of like of could this work, could this work, and then we, you know, we went through them, and then we heard, you know, My Favorite Color is You, and we were like, okay, that was sort of like tailor made for this.
What are the other options, and why did you feel inclined to give options?
Yeah, I like to give options because I recognize my taste is odd sometimes, and I'm always surprised by what people end up choosing. So I don't want to presume to make the choice for them. And since I have giant stockpiles of old ideas, I can afford to do that. And I sent him I think it was 3, maybe it's 4 ideas that I thought might fit there. And I was surprised they picked the one they did.
Were you surprised? You didn't expect that one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I love that part. It seems like a totally different. It seems like a real. I guess like a left turn, like you said, but maybe that worked in its favor.
Well,
by the way, the song is beautiful, but like, and you're right, in that left turn, like you when I hear it, it's like kind of like you're almost yelling at somebody you love, or you're yelling at yourself, and that My Favorite Color Is You just hits in a way that so few lyrics, I mean, it that was in the database, just collecting digital dust?
Yeah, I don't even remember why I thought of it. just one of those things, like I was thinking about somebody, maybe one of my kids or my wife, and just that phrase came into my head, so I wrote it down, put it in my phone, whatever.
It really did become everyone's favorite part of the song. I'm not even just saying that. It's like every time someone, you know, talks to us about the song, they're like, oh, but that line is just like, that's the line I want to sing really loud.
Yeah, our uncle, that's his favorite line of any AJR song, and every time he tells us, we're like, we didn't write the line.
He's not like, that's why I like it so much. It's the one thing you guys didn't do.
But, I strive in life to find somebody where I can look them in the eyes and be like, my favorite color is you. Like, isn't that all you want?
100%, yeah.
Oh. So, by the way, one of the greatest sets I've ever watched in my entire life, and I've seen a lot of live music, but the greatest set I've ever seen was Rivers performing before you guys at a theater in downtown Los Angeles.
At the Belasco.
It was just you, acoustic.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I opened.
You were first of three.
Right.
Humbly.
What did I play?
You. So it was just, it was you and an acoustic guitar, and you. I think you did
the hits.
I think you did Buddy Holly. Yes. I think you did
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Say It Ain't So.
You did Say It Ain't So.
Magic.
Oh, I think you did Magic. Yeah.
That is random.
Yeah.
That was back when you were an opener.
He was still paying his dues. That's why he felt the need to do that. Yeah. Sprinter tour.
You know, that B.O.B. collaboration, I remember when that hit, and it was such an oddity at the time. Like, it was this, and yes, there had been Jay-Z and Linkin Park previous, but it was this fairly newer rapper who had a different flow to his tone, combined with you guys, and at the time, like, what was this, 2006, right? 2008?
Yeah, 2008 or 2009 is when we wrote it. I think it came out in 2010.
I mean, that song, I can recite every lyric from that song right now. How is that collaboration different than a collaboration that you do with these guys?
That one, it's not that different. It's actually started as a Weezer song. B.O.B. wasn't on it. It had a totally different Weezer verse in there. And I brought it to the producer that was doing our record at the time. And he was like, no, I don't like this song.
I'm dying to hear it. Let's cut this one. I really want to hear it.
So... then somebody, the other guy I wrote it with, Dr. Luke, was working with B.O.B. and totally unbeknownst to me, I didn't even know who B.O.B. was. He recorded the B.O.B. verse on there, and then it was done, and it's like, okay, wow, cool. That's the modern way.
Well, that song, along with Airplanes, goes on to casually change B.O.B.'s life, but that's also, I think, the first song that you're credited as Rivers Cuomo and not Weezer.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right.
Why was that? Is that because the producer who was doing the Weezer stuff at the time was just not in, or does it not feature the other guys? Like, what's the threshold?
Yeah, the other guys aren't on it. Weezer never recorded it.
Got it. So it is. It's just you.
Yeah.
Did you think that it was going to do that well? Did you think it sounded like a hit?
No.
No.
I mean, I loved it, but I didn't think it would be on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it either went top five or number... It went really far. Could have even gone to number one. Yeah. It was a smash hit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you have that ability? Do you think that you can call hits?
No.
Or, no, not at all?
Not
you have
at
no
all.
Idea?
No, not at all. I remember when we turned in our first record to Geffen Records, I said, whatever you guys do, do not release the Sweater Song as the first single.
Wow. Oh my
God. So if they had listened to me, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
Oh, that's amazing. And then from then on, you were just like,
yeah, I'm going to bow out.
Yeah.
So you don't lose trust for your own intuition or your own gut in that moment. You learn to understand and know what you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's knowing what is a hit song. What is that? It's like knowing what masses of people around the country or around the world are going to relate to. And I may have some talents, but there's no reason to suspect that I would have that particular talent. And I'm happy to let somebody who's really gifted at it do it.
My Favorite Songs. It's a hit right now. It's on radio, multiple different formats. It continues to climb. when you create an album, like, okay, Human, do you set goals or expectations for things, or do you just kind of go where it goes?
I think we definitely will, at some point in making a record, we'll start thinking like, okay, where's the single? We got to make sure we have a single. Singles still feel super important. Maybe we're just old fashioned, but no. There's nothing like having a song that everybody knows. Like you go to your kid's school and like the other kids are like, oh, we like your new song. And that's the great thing. That happened amazing. With Sober Up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I just love that. I crave it so much. So I definitely will think, yeah, start thinking like, okay, this song is a candidate. Let's really whatever we have to do to try to get this one on the air.
And where does that song start? Like, does it start with a lyric or a realization that you're listening to only sad?
actually, that chorus came from another writer's song. It was a country song. And yeah, so I heard that and I just was just messing around with it and kind of swapped some reversed some the meaning of some of the lyrics and made it sound more like Weezer. And yeah, then wrote the rest of the song around that. And writing about being a sad weirdo.
So you took the hardest part of the song, right? Because we talked earlier that the chorus is the easiest. But this was you had to build around something else that somebody gave you.
Yeah, there was just something about it when I sang it with some of the lyric changes. It was like people around me, my manager, et cetera, just like, whoa, this is wild. This is like, this is really ear grabbing. We should focus on this. So, and I don't know why that happens.
Do you enter a headspace when you cut vocals, or like, do you channel emotion? Do you think back? Like, what do you see in your mind's eye?
I do. And a lot of it's collaboration with Susie, like we were talking about. Yeah. If she says, I wish you sounded more sad here, then I will just start thinking about something that makes me sad. And it may have actually nothing to do with the lyrics, but it stirs up that emotion in me that brings out the right performance for that lyric.
Do you tap into a different sad event, or is it like this thing where just always think like your dog's dying?
It's pretty stream of consciousness. There are some recurring themes, but you have to go where your subconscious wants you to go. What it's offering up, you got to accept that and really feel it.
Now that it's done in the reverse and you guys are on the receiving end of a record from Rivers, how do you break it down and what do you think and like what do you listen for at the very beginning?
Well, Zach, I don't know if you know, but this was step two. There was one song in between that was a little bit of a collaboration.
Oh, yeah.
With Rivers. Medicine for Melancholy.
Well, that was, yeah, so Rivers, I mean, you could explain it if you want, but I could lay the grammar, but go ahead.
Yeah. I had a song that it wasn't right for Weezer. It sounded a little more modern or AJR-ish even. We had just done Sober Up, so I asked them if they'd be willing to help me finish it up with all the production, and they said yes, and then they really jumped in, and they came back with some great suggestions, melody change, and it was such a great experience.
Yeah.
So that it's not on a Weezer record, but I just put it out on my own name. You can find it on one of the streaming services.
I believe you performed it on that night.
Right. Yeah,
it
was in the set. Right. Oh, yeah. That was one. Like River said, me and Ryan had such a blast doing that. That was so much fun. And I'm gonna give him a compliment. I don't want to embarrass him too much. But Rivers is one of these very rare musicians who's, you know, aside from the lyrics, which are always, you know, spot on, whose like melodic sense is literally just as unbelievable as it was, you know, the day he started making music. You didn't lose it at all. Ryan and I still listen to every album, and I'm like, God, that melody is just so huge and great, and it's just it's so rare, because a lot of unbelievable musicians from the, you know, the 80s and 90s will eventually be like, okay, they'll kind of lose what is attention grabbing, what is an earworm, but that's something that you've literally never lost, which is why you've stuck around forever.
But why have you kept it? Like, what is the trick? Because you're right, like people who are releasing music back then, the consistency fades eventually.
I don't know. I think from day one, is melody is what I care about the most. I just love catchy melodies, beautiful melodies, and that's what I still focus on when I sit down to write. I can't speak for the other people.
Yeah, if I had to analyze, I feel like Weezer was probably really ahead of its time in its irony, and that's something that they didn't lose. Where like you could have a really pop melody, but you're singing about a man getting pregnant. You know, like something. you know, there's some lyric on one of your albums about that.
Wow, that is cool. Right? I don't remember
writing about that. And there's an iron. There's a juxtaposition there, and that's like how our whole generation grew up. Watching Family Guy and like yes. Everything's kind of ironic, and I think he was like 10 years early to the party and then kind of raised a whole generation of people that think that way.
And that's a huge, you know, concept that AJR used in their music, and it was 100%, you know, influenced by.
Yeah, we're like, oh wow, the narrator is not actually saying exactly what he means. He's speaking behind a veil of irony.
Mm.
And that's, I think that's like a lot where Weezer and AJR overlap.
This is when Rivers turns to you and he's like, hey, I meant every single word I wrote.
You totally got it wrong.
I was pregnant.
I was pregnant.
That was a true
story. For
a
brief moment during the 90s, yeah.
So what has been, now that there's three records, what do you take away from learning directly and working directly with somebody that essentially kind of laid the groundwork? It's not you laid the groundwork for y'all to create music.
The second part. No, you're fine. The second part of what I said is, you know, we get asked to work on some stuff, and we say yes almost 100% of the time, and we don't always love exactly what we're working on, but we feel like, okay, we can add something to it. What's so great is that we love everything that he sends us and asks us to do, and you know, same with Sober Up, we were so excited about. And so, like, moving to, you know, All My Favorite Songs, when that first dropped on OK Human, it was like my favorite song of the moment. I just truly could not stop listening. I was like, I literally said to myself, God, I wish I could have been in that session. I wish I wrote that song with you guys. Like, especially just the, I mean, all the melodies and lyrics were perfect. And
I remember the first thing we said was, everything that feels so good is bad. We wanted it to go bad, 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 like 6-5-4. We wanted to change those chords.
Like, that's the one thing we would have done differently was add in that chord in between there. And then we just sort of let it go. And then he, you know, wrote to us about hopping on and, you know, giving it an AJR spin. We're like, we get to put the chord in. We get to do it. So that's the first thing that we did. It was amazing.
What do you think when you hear that? Like that they would have done this little thing, but that little thing could change the tone of the song, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember it from Medicine for Melancholy, the melody change they suggested was just like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? it's just what the song needed.
Are you talking about the dum dee 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 dee, that part? I'm curious what you're talking about. Do you remember?
Like, it was the climax right before that.
Oh, I want to take
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
How could I not have written that?
Is that what you want from a collaborator? Like to go back and be like, oh, how could I not? Or like, what is the dream like from somebody?
Well, I would never presume to ask for a brilliant melodic idea like that. Working with a producer, you're expecting like they're just going to make the track sound dope and, you know, modern, and then they bring in these actual melodic or chord change ideas that make the song better, and I just feel grateful.
And you must have that same feeling to a certain degree, because this is the second song, because you're not featured on Medicine for My Melancholy, right? You don't have a title.
Yeah, we just sort of did the production and changed around some stuff. Yeah. But,
I mean, you all have to be grateful too, because this like legitimizes from the second Sober Up hits with Rivers. Like that, like there's legitimacy and then there's this form of legitimacy. Like yeah. It's like a badge of honor.
It did so much for our career, and like we will be endlessly thankful to you.
Because, yeah, I don't know if you even know.
Yeah,
it catapulted us. Yeah,
it totally catapulted us, because we were never looked at as an artist that could be on any other format of radio except pop radio. And then you putting on the record, you hopping on the record, alternative radio really embraced us, and that was the thing that started to grow our fan base, and we could tour and more people, and then other radio formats. It was the like catalyst that allowed our band to really start growing.
Oh wow, that's so great.
Yeah. I guess you don't know. Yeah, you're kind of responsible. So
this Friday, discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters Friday. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
But also, truthfully, there's not a lot of Weezer collaborations. Like, you don't allow a lot of artists to have that FT period with them next to you, right? I mean, all your biggest songs that I was listening to a lot of Weezer.
You mean collab features on our songs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Often our fans don't like it. I don't know why. They're very, very particular, and it's easy to upset them. But
do you care about that?
Well,
still.
I mean, it's like we live with these people pretty much, so we want everybody to be happy. I think if I totally had my way, there'd probably be more like bizarre features. I know we had Lil Wayne on that, which was amazing for me. Just we want the whole Weezer community to get along and have fun.
Is it wild to see how the Weezer community has not just grown, but it's gotten bigger, but also younger?
Yeah, it's cool. We have such a wide range of ages at our shows now, there's kids there, and it seems like everyone's digging it for the same reasons. They all just love singing along, and it's an ideal spot for an artist to be in at this stage of a career.
Mm. Well, that's kind of an interesting question, because you guys have been around for a while. I'm sure a lot of your original fans are like, make stuff that sounds like the Blue Album, but you want to keep experimenting.
Yep.
What's that duality like?
You're going to find out. Yeah, because you guys are going to find out, because you're going to be around. You're gonna be a career artist, and you're going to be faced with a lot of the same quandaries that Weezer is.
Hmm.
I mean, we've definitely tried a number of different approaches from just saying, you know, we're artists, we're going to do what we do, we don't care what the fans say. We tried that. We also tried, like, let's do exactly what they want us to do. And that wasn't totally satisfying either. So it's a very complex problem that we're always working on. I don't have an easy answer, but
right.
I'll be happy to talk to you guys when you get to that stage of your career.
Do you want
we'll
it to
come
be
busy?
do you want it to be a challenge at this point?
No.
Do you feel like music is a challenge?
Well, the music isn't so much a challenge. It's just like making sure everybody's happy and everyone's happy with the direction we're taking is that's real challenging.
That's the hardest part?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of people who are Weezer fans, and they care so much. They're so passionate about it, and including the four of us, and we're all four different guys. So we don't want any kind of divorce. We want to keep the whole thing going. And yeah, how do you get everybody on the same page?
Do you ever think about ending, stopping, not going into a studio and making music for public consumption?
Well, I've always said, like, I'm going to do this until I'm 60. So that's another 10 years.
So you have 15 albums today, right?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's 15. I thought it was 14, and then, no, it's 15 because there was two this year, which is insane to say, too. How many more albums can you crank out in 10 years?
Well, things move so much more quickly these days. It used to take so long just to set up the mics for the drums, and take 3 days to get a drum sound, and now you can do a whole album.
And when you have a database, just cook it away, baby.
Yeah.
Do you not record all live drums anymore? Is it not 100% live?
We do, but, you know, there's so much, like, adding samples after the fact.
Right.
I mean, it used to be, by going back to the 60s, like, engineers would come in white lab coats, and like, they were serious college-educated engineers,
yeah.
And it's just so less serious now to make a record.
Wow.
I think an album a year, but, I'd be happy with, I'd rather have one amazing album than 100 mediocre albums, so it's more about quality.
How do you know when an album is finished?
I really trust the producer. Yeah. So if it were up to me, I'd probably just keep tweaking and tweaking. There's always something you could make better, but when it seems like everyone else is really excited, the producer's really excited, then I'm cool. Go on to the next one.
The collaboration between you guys is a different song than the original. But when you're going in to rework it, mm-hmm. are you afraid that you could go too far?
No, because I think we come at it with a love for the song. If we came at it with ego of like, let's put the AJR spin on it, then that would be problematic. But we come in as fans. Oh, this song is so great. You know what would, in our opinion, make it so much better? Change these chords, speed it up a little bit, make the drums like pump a little bit harder, you know, stuff like that.
I think we were worried about not doing enough. You don't even know this. We had a first pass of it and we were like, let's listen back to what we did. And it was like, exactly the original.
We just changed the car.
We did like 2 days worth of work, and Ryan said it to me. I was like, Ryan, this is, you could play them on top of each other and they would sound exactly alike. And then it also happens to us, we do that a lot actually, even with other people that ask us, you know, produce their stuff. Like, no, let's just do a little bit, they might be too angry. And then we're like, no, they probably asked us for a reason because we do have that distinct sound, you know, in that way. So okay, let's do a little bit of that and just go for it and hopefully he likes it. So that was the story behind.
And you guys did something that I don't hear all the time when I hear a feature or a remix. You hear Jack from the beginning of the record. A lot of the times you could tell, like, the first half of the song is the exact same version as the last one. Mm. And then it's just kind of, like, placed right in there. And then you don't hear them for the rest of it. But no, there's ad-libs at the very beginning.
That was Rivers. It didn't originally. And then Rivers called us and said, can you put in ad-libs? Literally.
Why is that important?
Because... I just wanted to hear him.
he was lonely.
I'm bored of listening to myself. I'm a big fan, and like it's, I want to, if we're doing a collaboration, let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you guys are together. It sounds like there's actually this thing that weaves the two of you, as opposed to like clearly knowing that like there's two people in two different spaces, right. And like they're just disattached. Like
that's cool. Yeah, it was the right call. Yeah.
What are you thinking, Daniel?
Was OK Human and OK Orchestra a coincidence?
as far as I know.
It actually was. Yeah. In all honesty, I did not know the name of your upcoming album. And that's completely honest. And then we came up with it and put it out. And then he texted me, coincidence with the albums. And I know Rivers. I know there was no like sarcasm like under there. He genuinely thought it was a coincidence. And it actually was. Yeah. But it literally was a coincidence. And it was kind of a cool one, too.
Well, yeah. It ends up being an album that's created from an orchestra.
Yeah.
That's OK Human.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually, oh, that's really funny. I didn't even put that together. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Is yours a Radiohead reference at all?
It actually, so, okay, we came up with the idea. It originally was called
Mad Orchestra.
And that was after Bang, because Bang has that sort of like, bum, yeah. bum, like the villain in the Broadway show. We're like, oh, it's, and then we started like writing the rest of the album. We were like, okay, Bang is kind of the most evil sounding or mad sounding song on this album. It would be weird to just name it after this one song. And then it was really just brainstorming. And then we said, okay, Orchestra just flowed the best. And then like 10 minutes later, we're like, oh, right. Okay, Computer is there. And so it honestly really wasn't an homage. We knew, of course, we would get the... references, and in a lot of the reviews that came out, AJR's new album, OK Computer, does it like that's what it says. They literally typed AJR's new album, OK Computer. And we're like, immediately, hey, can you guys fix that, please? So we knew some of that stuff would happen, but I'm sure yours obviously was an homage, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Is there a genuine understanding, like on behalf of all artists, that like to be inspired is to be inspired, and nothing is necessarily original, even Shakespeare? Was plagiarized from somewhere?
Oh yeah, he would copy passages wholesale from these history books. He'd just be like, oh, this is a cool part, let me put it in my play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't do that, but sometimes people will say like, oh, did you hear that song, it rips off that Weezer song, and like I don't care at all, I have no bad feelings. It's like, man, we're all just artists trying to look for inspiration wherever we can, and Do what you can with ideas wherever you get them from.
Does it fulfill you in any way to know that somebody was inspired to create something off of what you originally made?
Yeah, it's a little cool, but I mean, I've done it so many times. Yeah. I feel like I'm still in debt to the rest of the world out there with the ideas I've used.
It's wild to think about.
Yeah.
Wow. What have you learned from these guys and working with them now, three songs in, and they're a different group? What were you about to say?
I'm just like, I'm curious what the answer is. I'm curious if he learned anything from us. We learned a lot from him. Yeah.
It's okay if the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly feel like it's the tip of the iceberg, and I really wish I could dive in. I feel like there's a lot I could learn. Yeah. I'm not a producer, and I feel like much of what they bring is like this. The record sounds so cool and beautiful, and it's not what I do. Like, it's not really my skill set. So there's not I don't know if there's anything I can learn there, but I would love to dive in and just work together more. And I just sense like, oh man, there's something really cool that could happen. I just don't know what it is.
I want to talk about your use of the guitar, because the emotion that exudes from this instrument when you play it is rather incredible. And we talked about entering your mind's eye for lyrics, but is there an emotional connection to when you shred or come up with whatever that solo or that piece is going to be? Because even in Beverly Hills, like, the emotion that exudes off that freaking instrument is insane.
Actually, a lot of times for guitar solos, what I'll do is I'll put the guitar down and I'll sing it. I'll just come up with it as a vocal melody. I'm just like singing into my phone over the track, and that way it just doesn't turn into mindless shredding. Mm. There's natural phrases, because you have to stop and take a breath, and then you have a phrase, and that way it's not too insane, because I can't sing all that technically. I can't sing really fast, so it ends up being relatable and catchy, and it's something that people are going to want to sing along to, even though it's a guitar.
So do those pieces come after the rest of the song is built?
Guitar solo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's based off of the emotion that's exuded from everything else.
Yeah, for me, it's all about the chord changes. People don't give enough credit to the chord changes. Like, everyone thinks about lyrics, melody, the production, whatever. But I feel like the emotion comes out of one chord to the other. What that sets the whole tone for the song.
It also keeps you hooked, right? Because that's like, instead of it staying stagnant, there's movement, there's flow, there's progression.
Did you do that bit for Say It Ain't So? Da, na, na, na. Did you sing that, or was that just soloing?
I think that was singing.
It makes sense, because it's like...
You hear it.
You can literally sing along to it. It's just as catchy as the rest of the song. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we honestly tend to stay away from electric guitars. I think that's one of our like signature sounds. If we need that sonically, we go with like strings or brass or a synth or something. I don't know why, just naturally. But we do the same thing where it's like, for Burn the House Down, as opposed to just riffing on a trumpet and see what we come up with.
I can't do that. That's cool.
How do you sing in guitar?
I just don't have I can't sing like that. That was really cool.
You can go, was that impressive?
That was it?
You can't go banam,
Jack, if we would have told you, or any of you guys, if we would have told you in 2015 when I'm Ready came out that you'd be sitting here today, three songs deep with Rivers, what would you say?
Well, okay, we were having this discussion the other day because we just won Best Rock Song at the Billboard Awards.
Oh, congratulations.
Ben. I love the quotes.
And for all of it. There were quotes for the reason the whole song. We just won at Billboard Awards. No, I meant the quotes over Rock Song, because I wouldn't really call Bang a rock song. I don't think it is. I think it's more of an alternative song, but they like group it together. So that's why I do that, because I know that I would get some hateful comments on this video. That's not a rock song. But anyway, and I think we were sitting at dinner with our manager the other day, who signed us for I'm Ready. And I think I was like, hey, his name is Steve. And I was like, imagine like when you gave us that deal, if like we knew in 8 years or whatever, we'd be winning the award for best rock song. Like, I would truly, it would be the last thing I would expect would happen. And obviously that starts with sitting next to, you know, Rivers Cuomo from Weezer. So yes, that would probably be the last thing that I expect would happen when we got signed in 2015.
You know what I just realized? The other crazy story that I don't know if you know is that your manager is the other thing that made our career happen.
I do know that. I think he somehow through Sia, right?
Through Sia, yeah.
Sia discovered I'm Ready and then introduced us, you know, to... Or she told Jonathan about it, and Jonathan introduced us to Steve, who was our manager. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing that both Sia and I went to our mutual manager, Jonathan, and just started hammering him about you guys, AJR.
Wow. Like, wow.
But what are the similarities that you see, not just like in the music, but in the overall messaging and the community? Because I do think that these guys speak to the lone wolf, the outcast, in a way that hasn't been fulfilled since you know? And Fall Out Boy and Green Day, you know? There's something about that.
Well, I think we're both definitely like outsiders. And I think we both, when we first both came out, it was like, where do we put this band? That's why a lot of people are like, you guys are a pop band. And we're like, we don't fit there. That's a square peg in a round hole or whatever. And that's why, like, when we started getting into alternative, it was like, oh, okay, this is more of our home, because we're not quite rock and we're not quite pop. And what are we? But like, at least we found a home. And I have to imagine it was probably similar when you guys first came out.
Yep. It was the end of the grunge era, and we certainly didn't look or sound like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, any of those great bands. But luckily, alternative was very open at that time, and they're open to new influences. So it kind of feels like alternative radio was at another turning point. I don't know, maybe it probably didn't feel open, but I think it was ready for a change, ready for some modernization for sure.
Sober Up was the, in our opinion, was kind of the song that opened that door, because after Sober Up, you had songs like Bastille and Marshmello. Like, when would a DJ like Marshmello ever be on alternative radio? And 24K Golden had a number one song at alternative radio. That's like crazy thing.
We remember when we first went to alternative with Sober Up. Our manager, Steve, he has friends in the industry who said, I hate AJR right now because I have every single artist, pop artist, coming to my door now saying, hey, why aren't we pushing our song to alternative? Why aren't we pushing our song to alternative? Yeah.
But that's weird to think, because you never saw yourself as a pop act.
Yeah, not really. And it wasn't even our full decision to like push it to alt radio at first, right? I think it's just like someone just started playing it. I think the guys in maybe Denver, they just like played it once, and then it was one of these things that was like, That's going to work.
But the other thing is, we didn't see ourselves as a pop act, because we had I'm Ready go to pop radio, and we tried to tour after that, and we could get like five people in each room.
Yeah.
So we said, this is not working. This is not the right lane for us. We can't, if this song is not working on the radio and we can't get people in a room, this can't be the right place for us.
But there's an honesty and there's an irony that's afforded at alternative radio that you don't get in other genres that I think match the stories that you were looking to tell. And those are stories that only have a place on the radio because...
Yeah.
Of Rivers.
Yeah, they created that space, you're right.
It's weird. Is that weird to hear, though?
He knows.
I mean, when I listen to their record, it just sounds so thoughtful, and like they're really exploring the issues, internal issues that are important to them. And I totally relate to that. It's like, yeah, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, like I think I would probably be trying to do this if I was of their generation.
As we sit here today and we wrap up this conversation, I've taken way too much of your time, all of you. I'm looking at a bunch of incredible musicians. I'm so sorry.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
How do y'all measure success in 2021? Like in this present moment? Because you have an album out, OK Orchestra, listen to it, link in the description below. Rivers, Weezer has two albums out. Van Weezer, OK Human, links in the description below.
A lot of links.
All the links. But how is success defined? Like, how do you see it? How do you feel it? How do you look at it?
Can I say two metrics?
You can say everything.
Well, one would be like what they call consumption. This is like streaming.
Yeah.
And then the other is people coming to the shows. And I guess we'll see this summer, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty big tour. So, yeah, not just people coming, but, like, going crazy when you're playing. That's the most important metric for
definitely.
Me.
That's the fuel that keeps you going, is people acknowledging and being touched by the art you make. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably still keep going even if nobody cared, which is sad. But it sure is rewarding to hear the applause.
I think the last thing that you said about people going crazy is really, it's a perfect answer, because... You know, you can bring a lot of people into a room, but there's a difference between a passive and like an active listener. And we've watched Weezer play at shows that we've done together, and those are extremely active listeners. So every single song, even the deep cuts, they're singing them fully and jumping up in the air, and they just haven't faded at all in the last, you know, 30 years. And I think that's a great answer, actually. If you have those kinds of fans, it's still culty, you know, that, and that's the kind of band that's really ideal to be.
Is that success to you guys today?
100%. Yeah. If you're sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, it's also the experiences that come out of what Jack and Rivers were both talking about, because we played a festival, Midtown Music, a handful of years ago, and there was a huge crowd there, and we were really surprised to see a crowd. But the thing that I remember most about that experience was Rivers standing on the side of the stage and watching us playing.
It's the first time we had met him after we had put out Sober Up.
So, experiences like that and experiences like this one here are, for me, how I measure success, because those are the kind of things that I'll remember, you know, years and years from now.
It's beautiful.
For me, Shazams.
The number of Shazams.
So, Shazam the song. Link below. Yeah.
AJR, Rivers Cuomo, this was amazing. This was the right way to open up our studio for the very first time, and I can't thank you guys enough. Like, really.
Amazing, yeah. Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you very much. Hello, beautiful human. Thanks for listening to our conversation with Rivers Cuomo of Weezer and AJR. I really do appreciate it. There's a part one to this podcast just with Rivers. It's available on our little podcast page. While you're there, subscribe to our podcast and share it with those you care about. And please let us know who you're listening to so we know who we should invite on the show next. At Zach Sang Show on any form of social media. Please be safe if you can, hug your family, and don't go to jail. Have an amazing day. Talk soon.